way to the door. As she turned to leave, Joe looked at Marge and said, "I think the woman we've been waiting on has finally arrived." "Excuse me?" Jada said, confused. Joe went on to explain. He and Marge had purchased a new home across town, but agreed not to move until they found the person to whom they were to give their current home. They had spent months praying, waiting on the right person to arrive and take possession of the small estate. It was clear to both that Jada was the one God had in mind when he gave them a vision of blessing someone with their home. True to that vision, 2 months later, the title was transferred to Jada, and her sons now live in a debt-free home and attend charter schools. "This is the thing I have come to appreciate about miracle moments. No one can predict them. No one can control them. What appears accidental, God has arranged." Can I state the obvious? Radical prayers produce irrational results. Maybe you're not digging your heels in for a home, but I am confident there is something written on the wish list of your heart. Be assured that God loves answering prayers of faith, performing the impossible, and fulfilling his daughter's secret dreams. This is the Father's heart, to astonish his daughters with his goodness. Prayer is a verbal reflection of our confidence in God. It is an opportunity to acknowledge that our Father is in charge of every situation, great and small. By articulating our faith and affection, we draw God's goodness into the daily grind. Whatever storm you are encountering, remember to make time for small prayer breaks. Embrace quiet, reflective moments. Unlock the windows of heaven with your words of faith and adoration. While I have no idea what is on your private wish list, I am convinced that you are one bold request, one prayer drive, one worship-filled night away from encountering the miraculous. Even now, I sense that God longs to place within our reach things previous generations of women have been denied. You see, there is far more to our story than what our culture would have us believe. Culture points to a woman standing in a garden and violating God's command. It ignores God's promise that the Savior of humanity would come through that fallen woman's legacy. That's what shame does best. It focuses on our failures in order to dilute our faith. Several weeks ago, I visited the home of a very wealthy woman. Tall, thin, curved in all the right places, she was the envy of most women, until she pulled the covers off her broken heart. I sat patiently, hour after hour, listening to her bemoan how unhappy and unfulfilled she was. At the end of the conversation, it was crystal clear. Shame had squeezed the life out of her, and she's not the only one. Just yesterday, I received a text from a friend who was convinced she should give up teaching her women's group at church. The enemy kept reminding her of wrongs she had committed 20 years ago. It took hours of convincing to strip away the layers of built-up shame. There is still much work to do in patching up her self-confidence. Then this morning, as I was leaving for the airport, I received 6 frantic text messages from a woman I've known for more than a decade. As I scanned her texts, I experienced an unwelcome deja vu. Yep, I could almost quote her line for line. Shame had come to call. I wanted to throw the phone, not at her, but at the enemy who has blinded her. How many times do we fall on the very sword that has just tried to decapitate us? If the enemy can't succeed at destroying us himself, then he'll make sure we do it for him. Seriously, we can't deny the truth. We are all guilty of emotional self-mutilation. It happens the moment we quit discounting the enemy's lies and start believing them. Let's pause and reason this out. What if Eve...